We're thankful that Jesus Christ is the perfect example, that the reproaches, Father, that were directed towards you, He took upon Himself. We're thankful that for His humility and His willingness and His strength to be gentle and to bear the weaknesses of others. And that, Father, ultimately, that He accepted us for Your glory. And what a great example that is to us. I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your Word, that I would communicate it clearly and in accordance with the truth of Your Scriptures. And Lord, that we would all do our part, that with one voice we may glorify You. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. That's interesting. Last week I preached through 1 through 4. And one of the things I was talking about really, hey, where does the last part of that, to the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope, right? And so it was interesting. I got a text. Somebody was a little not happy with me this week. And one of the things they said, all I got out of your message last week is it's not the body's problem, so encourage yourself, right? I hope that's not all you got out of the message last week. Okay. But the point is this. God has done all sorts of things for us. We've just talked about some of them. He's done so much for us. But at some point, brethren, it is going to come back to you and God. It's an old song, old hymn, on the Jericho Road. There's room for just two. No more, no less. It's just Jesus and you. And that's the truth. There are times, there are moments in our lives, there are periods where intentionally, by God's design, it's going to be you and Him. And so, where are you going to get that perseverance and encouragement from? Well, it's going to come from the Scriptures, isn't it? Through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So, I'm going to springboard off of that a little bit today. You know, this is a long race, right, that we run. I heard Tim, I think, say he was immersed into Christ in 1997. It's a long time. Think about when I want to keep us abounding with hope today. But I will say that, hey, there's some tremendous challenges. You heard from Atta this morning if you were here for Bible school class. If you weren't, hey, what an opportunity you missed to hear from the Word of God. Hey, great opportunity to be at classes. But you know, it doesn't matter if you're in Ghana, West Africa, or if you're in, you know, Montana, United States. To get people who actually are spiritually interested requires a lot of work. A lot of sacrifice. A lot of sowing of seed. A lot of patience. A lot of prayer. A lot of follow-up. A lot of caring for somebody else. That's to get somebody to sit down and listen to the Word of God with you. And then for them to be obedient to the Scriptures when it pierces their heart and challenges them and pushes them to make a decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you, I have taught proof that the Bible is the Word of God countless times. I've taught what God says about salvation, not quite as many times. And I've taught everything else way fewer times. Because to make a commitment to follow Christ, hey, there's a lot that goes into that for a person. And then, hey, you get somebody immersed into Christ, right? And that's awesome, that's great. And happy to see you. We missed talking about Ann today. She was immersed into Christ. She doesn't like attention. She's like, no. But it's awesome to have you as a sister in Christ. Man, it's so great. And I know, you know, just from a few conversations, that's something she didn't take lightly. She's counted the cost. But you see people get immersed into Christ. And then, hey, to actually get in and be a part of the body and stay with us and commit to this. Hey, look, what do they say in the world? You start up a business and you make it through your first year. A lot of businesses don't make it through 1 year. Hey, there's a lot of people get immersed into Christ, aren't faithful to Christ for 1 year. This is the rocky soil, no depth of soil, right? And hey, you better believe it. You heard Kevin pray about it. The devil's real. He's happy to provide some of that scorching heat. Afflictions, persecutions, temptations, etc. Hey, he'll supply that. And so, man, a lot of people fade out there. And then there's the grind. You know, what Justin was talking about, we got to be careful about, even in reference to the love of riches, right? Over time, what the thorny soil, the weeds come up and slowly choke it out, and it becomes unfruitful. And what you just talk about that, you know, the worries of the world, right? Deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of this life. Basically, guys, it's fixing your hope on this world instead of on heaven. It just slowly steals it away. What I'm saying is, this race is long. You going to finish this thing? You are going to need supernatural perseverance and supernatural encouragement. It is a supernatural enemy that we face. And the devil's relentless in his attack. You read the book of Revelation, and you see the dragon, and you see what he turns his attention. Hey, guys, he can't beat Jesus. He knows that. He can't even beat the church. I'm going to say collectively. He knows that. You know who he goes after? You individually. And me. Individual attacks, individual level. Because in that process, hey, if he can... Well, let's just say misery loves company. So this race is long, and we understand the intensity of this spiritual battle. I remember a message my dad preached, and man, it is just the title of it is probably enough. The battle for the brain is brutal. What Lorenzo was talking about, the habits that you get in your mind, you allow what you're doing with your mind, the habits of either victory or losing. It's not tough to lose. He is going to veg mode, man. He ain't going to take the easiest path. It's like water running downhill. This battle to take every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ, we need some supernatural help and strength. Amen? So, that's what we're talking about. You know, I was thinking, you know, it requires spiritual supermen and spiritual wonder women. I don't know if that's the right way of saying that, but... I'm not too much into either one, actually. But hey, and I was saying, is this like Captain America? And you could show me those things. I don't have a clue. I did watch Captain America one time. The rest of that stuff, I don't even know. You know, I think Thor has a hammer. I know that. But the thing I remember about Captain America is here's this scrawny little dude with all heart, right? And they throw him in the machine, and he pops out of the machine, and I mean, through a lot of pain and agony in the machine, and he comes out like this dude, right? Like this dude that cannot be beat. Now, see, hey, is that what this is like? We get immersed into Jesus Christ, we go into that tank, we go into that pool, and we're this scrawny little weakling, wimpy person. We get crucified with Christ there in the waters of immersion, which the scripture says does happen. And then we just come out, dude. Or dudette, or whatever you want to say on that. I'm sorry, ladies. I'm struggling on the woman side of things here. But you know what, guys? It doesn't exactly work that way, does it? You know the way it works? When we are immersed into Jesus Christ, we do get new spiritual genetics. That is true. John chapter 3, Jesus talks about being born again. Being born from above. When we are immersed into Christ, there is an actual new birth that takes place. John chapter 1, Jesus talks about, or ultimately I guess it's Jesus, but the Apostle John talks about those who were born not of flesh. I'm not being able to pull it up. I'm just going to go to the... And not of man, not of flesh, not of blood. That's not right order. Let you guys sort it out and check it out. John chapter 1. But born of God. That's what I want to get to. He talks about those of us, hey, we're born of God. Hey, John makes the same point in 1 John chapter 3. Hey, his seed abides in us. The Greek on it is spermos. God's genetics are in us. That happens legitimately when we're immersed into Christ. We are born with new spiritual genetics. Nobody on the outside can see it, but it happened inside. But this is where it gets interesting. This isn't like Captain America where you're thrown in the machine and you scream a little bit and then you go through all this and then you come out. There's a process here, guys. God doesn't let us skip the process. And He does that for a reason. God wants us to know Him, to be like Him. And so, with giving us a new potential and showing us faith, which is Romans is all about faith, this new system, He gives us help. But we, by God's design, we have to be participants in this ongoing process. That's the only way we can know God and understand Him. And we get to learn to walk as He walks. You think about everything in the physical realm is designed by God really to point to the spiritual, for us to learn about the spiritual. That's why the book of Proverbs would say, wisdom shouts in the streets. Like, if you're listening, you can hear it everywhere. If you're paying attention, you can learn. You can be in the bar on Friday night, and if you're listening, wisdom's screaming. God has set this physical realm up so that anybody that's willing to look up, like Kevin said, there's some spiritual application that they can make. So, I just think about a child, the way God has this set up. A child has to learn to crawl, then walk, then run, etc. If you're lucky enough to get a dad, to have a dad like me, man, I put you on the ramp going down, set up a mattress, put you on the ramp, teach you to crawl, so your body has to start going through the crawl motions. It's for the mind. Anyways. Hey, you're going to learn how to do this, man. And we're going to get this. Anyways, Matthew's not even here, so he would really appreciate that. But this is the way this works. Crawl, walk, run, etc., right? We grow up. That's the way God has it for us as His children. We're going to have to learn these things. I just think for another example. The marriage relationship. God says what? The two shall become one flesh. So you say, I do. You consecrate the marriage, and now the two are automatically one. And from there on, man, never another difference of opinion. No possibilities for arguments. No, like, two became one. That's not the way that works, is it? The two should become one, but it's a process. And aren't you glad for that? Because if you just miraculously, now you're all on the same page, you never get to know each other. How will we know God, guys, without this process? Well, I'm in my introduction, my message. I got to get going here. There's not much food today anyways, so. All right. I don't know if there is or not. I just know there's not many people here, so I'm assuming there's not much food. I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you, Kevin. So, this is the way, guys, God, when in other words, it says, the part for today. Okay, let's get to the part for today. Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, that with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider this with me, guys. How, in what manner does God give perseverance and encouragement? You don't just pray, hey, Lord, give me perseverance and encouragement. And you wake up, maybe sleep with your Bible under your pillow. Hey, these cell phones are nice. It wouldn't be even create much of a neck problem, right? And you just put it on your Bible app. You wake up in the morning, you're ready to go. It doesn't work that way, does it? The obstacles of this life, the challenges, etc., that break us down. Then where do we go? The Scriptures. And through the Scriptures, through the words of life, the recovery process, the repair, the strengthening, etc. If you go to a gym, you know what, guys? What are you doing when you go to a gym? You are breaking your body down. Then you got to recover. I will tell you this, don't just do recovery time. You got to go to the gym, okay? So, but you break it down and then you got to recover, right? So, the scriptures are the recovery, our spiritual rest and our nutrition. That's how we're built up. And the Lord's Supper too, spiritual blood doping, even if you want to go there. John chapter 6, 53, 54, take that up with Jesus. Anyways, I got to get on with this. So, sometimes we even have to go back and reboot. I'm going to give you guys an example quickly. Most of you guys know my Achilles problem that I keep talking about for a year and a half. Can't do anything. So, I got to follow my notes. So, you know, two and a half years ago, I was pretty in shape. 2.5 years ago, I made a goal for myself, bench press, X amount, run a mile under 6 minutes. I did it. A year and a half ago, 45 years old. I'm 45 years old. Be in great shape. So I'm going to go, I'm going to bench press, X amount. I'm going to run a quarter mile, I think 67 seconds. That's not bad for a 45-year-old dude. Here I am a year and a half later, and I am not fit. I ran 15 minutes yesterday. I ran at 10-minute mile pace, and I was sucking air. You guys know how discouraged that is for somebody who ran a 6-minute mile, 5:55, a couple, like, I was, you know, what am I bringing that up for? Hey, guess what? I got to restart where I am. That's all there is to it. So, you know, you gotta restart where you are. God's plan works, guys. See, the difference is the outer man's breaking down. Like, I'm never going to run a 4-something mile again. I'm not saying I'll never run a freak 6 again. I'm not that old yet. But I'll never run a 4-something mile again because the outer man's breaking down. But what about the inner man? For us as Christians, we should be able to be getting spiritual PR, shouldn't we? All the way to glory. The inner man, if we're being renewed day by day. You know what the problem is sometimes? The inner man isn't being renewed. And if the inner man isn't being renewed, it will break down too. Just like the older man. So, what's my point of all this? The God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another. God isn't going to just grant this, like, apart from your participation, is what I'm saying. The God who gives perseverance and encouragement, He gives it through the Scriptures. How's God going to grant us to be of one mind? How's God going to grant this to us? It's going to be through the Word, isn't it? Wasn't when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, wasn't he pretty disappointed with them for the divisions that existed among them? Didn't he plead with them to be of one mind, same judgment? And you know what? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 real quickly. Hang in here with me, guys. I almost thought about preaching this in reverse order, but I decided to stick with the Spirit-ordained order here that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, put it in. So stick with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have what? We have the mind of Christ. Do you find that interesting? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he's exhorting them that they all agree, there be no divisions among them, they be of the same mind, the same judgment, and then he reminds them one chapter later, hey, this is what you've been given. You have the mind of Christ. How are we going to have the mind of Christ? Thinking God's thoughts after him, right? Through the Word. And he says so that he's doing this so that with one voice we can glorify our God and Father. You ever been to Symphony Chorale? Anybody? Come on. Wow, we have a really cultured congregation. My mom would make you at least go to Shakespeare in the Parks or something. Okay? But, hey, how do I... Okay, I'm just going to say this politely. And you'll see in the end, it doesn't matter the physical example. But the physical examples God uses here for a spiritual. So, you ever notice in our congregation, every once in a while, there's like three different songs going on at the same time? It's just the truth. Okay? We have the leader. We have the piano player. I'm not sure which of those is the leader, actually. And then we, you know... Or sometimes we're singing a cappella and we have the leader and this side and that side. There's three different songs. And I don't know about you, I'm no musically talented person, but it bugs my brain. You know what I mean by that? Like, it doesn't sound right. Discord is there. I'm not picking on our singing because if I am, I'll pick on my own. Here's the thing, ultimately, that I'm going to get to is, guys, God doesn't hear the way we hear. But he uses this example because we can understand it. Now, you go to a symphony and chorale where it is beautifully, like, the leader is great and the people have practiced, but it's amazing what that sounds like, isn't it? One voice. Everybody doing their part perfectly, and the volume and the sound of it is just absolutely beautiful. Do you see what God's saying spiritually? What God wants from us, he doesn't really care that our physical singing is perfect, although we can learn some things about like following the leader and all those things are applicable in the spiritual realm, while I'm just saying in passing. Okay? But the spiritual is important to him that we all would follow the leader and do our part. So I was thinking about it. You know, any level of participation in this is fun. You know, when different people are just all doing their own thing, because that's not enjoyable for anybody. Some of us just want to, I'm just going to say it, some of us just like, we're in the stage, we just want to do our own thing. And some of us are so dead set on doing our own thing that we're going to try to recruit other people to do our thing with us so that we feel better about ourselves about doing the own thing. It's all right. The Lord wants us to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Amen? Like, we're a team. We're a body. God wants us to pull together and do this for His glory. I'll talk about that a little bit. But any level of participation in this is fun. You know, Dave Barnett, Barbershop Quartet, right? Man, it's amazing, actually, the volume that a quartet can have. One voice. Man, it sounds good, doesn't it? Okay. Matter of, and it's enjoyable. Last Sunday night, I actually told Julie, I was like, hey, can I go sit by Dave? I went over and sat by Dave for one specific purpose. It was for the singing. I want to hear Dave sing, and I want to try to join him. I said, hey, are you singing the... He goes, no, I'm singing the melody. I was like, okay, hey, good. I'll just try to do my best to join him. And it was enjoyable for me. I'm not sure it was enjoyable for Kevin and Kath. They were going to sit in front of me. But man, I thought it was pretty good. Okay? So participation in that is enjoyable, guys. You know, actually, Nolan said it to just a little conversation yesterday in men's prayer breakfast. He said, you know, Friday night fellowship... Said he had to talk to the kids after. He said, some of you guys ruined it for all the rest of you. All the rest of them. Said there were a few of you that just basically, I'm going to put my words because I don't remember exactly, but a few of you ruined it for the rest because there was a lot of people that really wanted to learn everything, and a few of you just wanted to do your own thing. That's my words, not Mr. Tools. But guys, if that can happen in a Friday night fellowship group of young people, that can happen in the church, can't it? Just a few people can break up the discord, or create discord, break up the accord, yeah. So, hey, what does this require, guys? Well, first of all, our leader is Jesus Christ. We all commit to follow Him. Secondly, hey, listen to those around you. That's scriptural, isn't it? Quick to hear? Like, listen to those around you. Follow when necessary. Participate. Some of us are, well, I'm not going to cause any problems, so you just don't do anything. And then Kevin gets on you for not singing. That's the Lord. He doesn't say with zero voice. He says one voice. Like, lack of participation is not the answer either. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs say, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Okay? That's not the solution. It's not an option. The option is, hey, let's figure out how to work this out to God's glory. Harmony, one voice. And so we need to team up. And we can't do this, obviously, without spending time together, practicing together, etc. You know what? I'm not going to get to preach my third point, but go back with me to Romans chapter 15. I just want to do verse 6. That with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read 7 also. Wherefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Guys, we have one purpose on this planet. Bring glory to God. You know, hey, what? We heard a little purpose this morning. Ata bra, seek and save that which is lost. Hey, that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, didn't He? And doesn't the Scripture say, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples? So that's true. But I want you to understand, the bottom line is to glorify God. Evangelism is a part of that. So is working together in unity in the body of Christ. One voice, you may glorify God. See that? So, we accept one another. I'm going to preach on this a little more next time. I just want to say this. Christ accepted us to the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Christ accepted us to the glory of God. Did He do that before or after you were perfect? Before. The context here. We'll get into that a little bit. But I'm just going to... I want to leave you with this thought this morning. Isn't it amazing how your perspective on somebody or something can change sometimes if you have information, if you know what they're going through? So, somebody hasn't seen me for a year and a half. Actually, it's really funny. One of the young ladies in the Philippines says, Mr. Wilson, you need to go on a diet. Serious. We have that kind of relationship. That's fine. I was like, yes, I do. You know what? You guys know me. You know what? You probably might give me a little pass. Yeah. Now, I got to admit, guys, I have to be honest about this. My lack of being able to work out discouraged me where I just eat more and more, we'll just say ice cream. But, you know, and I can't blame my Achilles tendons for the way I've been eating. But they're related, and there's a reason I want to leave us with this. They're related in the sense that I got discouraged from something else. And I let it impact me. Does that ever happen to people spiritually, you think? So, what if you don't know what they're going through, and you say, man, you're not looking very spiritual fit. What's wrong with you? How come I haven't seen you in assembly for so long? Do you know, maybe that person's like fighting through depression, and they're stuck in their basement, and they can't get out. I'm not excusing sin. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying, hey, people need help. I've needed help. Thankful for it. Your brethren need help. So part of this is with the right attitude, hey, we accept one another. Why? We're not leaving people stuck in sin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting in a position to be able to help people, right? So someone that knows me well says, man, what Johnny Rigers, he's going through physical therapy. Hey, he gave me a couple hot tips about Achilles stuff. A few other people have tried, my wife tried to encourage me on my eating habits again. Appreciate that. And she was actually encouraging, not like, oh yeah, that Filipino gal was right, you are looking really fat. Like, you know, encourage me. Hey, there's a spiritual thing here. Because sometimes you don't know what somebody else is going through. It's easy to be hard on somebody. How about get to know them enough, care about them, find out what's going on, and get in a position where you can help them. Hey, there is the upward call. Like, God expects us to be moving up, right? He expects our inner man to be being renewed. He expects us, what Lorenzo was talking about, for us to grow up to be like Christ. Along the way, sometimes, I'll just put it this way, some of us need help. So, hey, what are we going to do? Write somebody off? Finish them off? Are we going to help them? Let's help them. With one voice, we can glorify God. Can you imagine how beautiful that sounds to God? And we know, hey, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, right? But you know, like when you listen to something, a chorus that everybody is doing their part and it's beautifully, like, it is, it's beautiful. Do you understand what, like, God's saying? That's what it sounds like to Him. It doesn't matter how good our voices are. It doesn't even matter if there's maybe even three different parts that day in terms of the physical sense. But if our hearts are right, it sounds absolutely beautiful to God. Let's do this. Amen? All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise Your great and glorious name. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done for us, what You continue to do. We're thankful that You accepted us for the glory of the Father. Lord, You've taken us. You continue to work with us. You don't give up on us. You challenge us in the right ways. You give us what we need to be able to overcome obstacles. Lord, You don't overparent. You allow us to fight through some things and for some of our weaknesses even to be exposed so that we know we got to come back and learn from You. We're appreciative for all those things. Lord, I pray, my earnest prayer is that each of us would look to You. That we would get on the same page with You from Your Word. That we would talk through the things we need to talk through. I mean this, you know how I mean this, Lord, in a spiritual sense, internally. That we would fight through the things that we need to fight through. And that we would just be willing, Lord, to accept Your love and Your discipline. And that we would be molded to be like You. It is a great joy, Father, to be able to work together in Your kingdom to further Your mission, to further the spread of the gospel, to help one another on the road to heaven. We're thankful that You have called us into Your ministry of reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.